The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Jordan here. And today I'm super excited to introduce you guys Rakina Velte, aka the Lash CEO. Rakina is an incredible individual who is an esthetician who specializes in lashes and brows. And today she's going to be teaching you guys how to attract microblading lash and beauty clients and tell her story about how she's been able to grow such a successful business, which is now actually transferred into a lot of coaching and consulting online. And Rakina is awesome at what she does. She is a strong, powerful, independent woman. And I am super excited to introduce you to her. So let's go ahead and jump right in.
All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Real Beauty Bosses. Today, I'm super excited to introduce Rakina. She is in the beauty industry. She has an esthetician background. She's been in the beauty industry for about 5 years, correct? And
yes.
Right now, you're focusing on doing brows and also working into venture into coaching and consulting for others who are looking to do the same, right? And so what I'd like to do is just let you kind of introduce yourself, give us a story for, you know, maybe, you know, what got you to where you're at now and, you know, what got you into the beauty industry in the first place.
Okay, yeah, so I'm Rakina Velte. I am the owner of The Lash CEO, which we are now a lash and brow and also skin studio. My background is originally military, so I served in the Navy for about 4 years and then got out and pretty much did a similar type of work. I was fixing copiers, and then I was fixing coin counting machines for Coinstar, and I just was not happy. I loved serving people in those different fields, but I was not being fulfilled creatively. And it wasn't until I was able to quit my job, go to school full time to become an esthetician. And before I even finished school, I knew I wanted to work for myself. So I was already building my website and trying to get that engine going before I even graduated. So once I did, I was up and running, but not busy. It was very challenging to find like facial clients and waxing clients and body treatment clients. You know, a lot of people want that immediate, you know, return, or they want something that's like right when they walk out, they feel amazing. And feels nice, you know. So it wasn't until I was introduced to lashes that my business really started to kind of take off. And that was also during the time I found out we were pregnant with our third surprise baby. So all that together was like, what do I want to do? But now we're going to have this third child. And, you know,
so building a business is harder than enough, right?
Right. And then throwing a surprise baby, it's like, okay. But it's been pretty amazing. I started specializing pretty much in lashes. And then 2 years later, I went and became licensed to do microblading. After that, the brows pretty much started to take over. So I do about 80% brows, about 20, I guess, percent lashes. Although lash lifting is becoming very popular. So I'm just loving what I do, love serving my clients and helping other stylists, you know, grow their business along the way.
Awesome. That's super cool. And so where did the Lash CEO first come from? Obviously, I mean, did you first start out with I'm the Lash CEO, or was it kind of something you developed into?
Yeah, for sure. I've gone through several name changes, actually. The Lash CEO just came about just because it encompassed everything that I felt I was trying to do. So I always had the idea of it, but until I felt more official, I guess it didn't, I didn't start using it, but I ended up being forced to use it because a hair salon here locally decided that my old name, which was Lashes and a Wink, infringed on their Wink hair salon. So they sent me this attorney letter and was like, you got to change your name, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, really? I'm like a one woman show. You guys have to your stylist and I'm infringing on you. So at that point I had put the Lash CEO on a few t-shirts and was kind of using that as like my coaching. And I was like, you know what? It just makes sense to put everything under.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kind of drew me toward you. I was like, I got to figure out what she's all about.
Yeah.
I love the name. That's awesome. So, and tell me like a little bit of how you maybe got to the point where now you're more on the education side. You know, obviously you started out doing the lashes and things like that. You have the esthetician background. So you have, you know, learned a lot of different services, right? But you've kind of found something that you enjoy doing the most and that you can, you can serve people to the highest level, right, with the brows and things like that, right?
Right.
But also, at what point did you kind of realize that, you know, I can help people, you know, do this as well? Because I'm sure, you know, you kind of went through some rocky points and, you know, it just, you know, fire up real quick, right? So maybe bring me back a little bit about how that all, like, kind of came to be that, you know, you kind of ventured into, you know, helping others do what you've done.
Sure. I think it unfortunately came from the beauty industry climate where I am locally. I feel like for whatever reason, we as women feel like we can't reach out to others in the industry and, you know, ask for help. And, well, you look like you're doing well. What are you doing? What adhesive do you use? What tools? You know, I just felt like nobody was willing to give that. And I was so hungry when I first started out. Like, I just wanted absorb everything. I wanted to take every class. I wanted to touch and talk to every stylist locally, and all of the stylists were basically just giving me the nose, you know? So that's when I turned to just connect with other people and see, like, you know, what they're doing. It started out that I needed the help. I was trying to reach out to get as much information. And as I slowly started seeing questions about, you know, people had been doing lashes or brows or, you know, just something service wise, and they had been doing it for a few years and still weren't fully booked. And as I started to just keep pushing and using some of the marketing principles that I had learned along the way, it just started to happen quicker for me. And it seemed unfair that there were so many stylists that just had no clue about SEO. They had no clue how important a website was. They had no idea that blogging actually means something and it actually brings clients to you. No one tells them that. No one shows them that in these trainings that they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on. Tell them, oh, get some business cards and, you know, take some flyers and tell your friends and family. And that's like the marketing part of the training. They just spent all this money. They learned the skill and then they're just dead in the water.
Yeah, you know? There's so much noise out there too. Like, you know, everyone knows that, like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. You know, I should be on Instagram. I should be on Google. I should be on Facebook. But no one really, like, there's not really anything that really shows you how to do it the right way. You know, there is some people out there who, you know, kind of put together their little courses and things like that. But, like, it's hard to apply, you know, those things if you don't really kind of see someone who's done it, right? And then a lot of people are teaching what really they necessarily haven't done. And so that's, you know, I think an area where, you know, we're looking to help the most people. And what you're also doing as well is, you know, anyone can kind of grow a business that can, you know, share the struggles and what they've been through if it's actually worked for them, right? And people will want to learn that, right? You know, people who see, you know, the last CEO as she is now, you know, maybe they want to accomplish what she's accomplished. And they have questions and things like that, right? And so what you're doing, like, you have to get to that point. But, like, once you get there, people will, you know, pay for your expertise because they trust you and they see that you've actually accomplished those things rather than just spewing out a bunch of knowledge, right?
Or theory that may work, or I've heard this work, so give it a shot. It's like, you know, the thing that I'm doing and I teach and I share is because I tried it and it either sucks or it works really well.
You
know? I feel like there's not enough people that do that. And there's definitely not enough people that share real truths, like real stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just talking about the other day, you know, keeping it real is super important. Like, people don't connect to, you know, you can only get so good at a service and you can only get, you know, so good at what you do, that in order for other people to really connect with you and want to have a relationship with you, you have to be real. You know, you can't, you know, slap on a face of makeup, get it in front and, you know, be fake all the time. Right. You know, that'll only get you so far, right? You really have to kind of peel back the layers and let people know, like, who you are, what you've been through, the struggles. And that's kind of, you know, what we're trying to do, you know, with these interviews and things like that is, you know, it's not a fast track and it's not easy. And there are a lot of, you know, mess ups and things like that happen. And so maybe tell us a little bit about, like, when you started to realize that you were, you know, I'm sure there's a big learning curve that happened when you first, like, got started, right? But it sounded like, you know, you were real excited, real motivated to get, you know, learning as much as you could to get some attention on yourself, right? And so maybe give us some kind of a little bit of an insight as to, like, what really, you know, didn't work and maybe what did start working for you that you started to, you know, kind of get things rocking and rolling for you.
I think for me, it was having my baby and knowing that my business was still so new, and I knew at that point that I loved it. So I had to pour myself back into it. Like, I was literally just had her. She was 2 months old. I was already, like, you know, taking her to the sitter and just back in the salon, even though I didn't have a lot of clients, you know, a lot of my clients left. So I just started figuring out, you know, how can I get in front of the most people without paying a lot? And back then, Groupon and, like, Living Social, I feel like it was kind of a different engine than it is now. So I definitely like to be honest and let people know that that's how I got a lot of my clients in the beginning, but I don't necessarily recommend that now just because it kind of evolved into this other thing now. And I'm not a huge fan of it anymore, but it used to be that you would get in front of so many people and, you know, so many people just wanted to try it. Like, they were kind of just learning about lashes and what is this? And you know what I mean? So I still have some of my Groupon clients to this day. So when people say, you know, oh, they're always deal seekers, they hop around. That's true. But there are people that actually want to just kind of try the service and see if it's a good fit. So that was a huge, huge push for me. And just understanding how a website can get in front of your clients for you 24/7 was huge. And that was something I just had to kind of learn on my own. Like, I knew that when people are looking for services, the first place they go is typically online. So I started to learn about that. I started to research that. I started learning about SEO and just applying different things just to see what would work. And slowly, as you keep doing it, stuff just starts to work. It's not an overnight thing, but you have to just keep doing it. And I would see people say, this is what you need to do. It's keywords. This is what Google looks at. This is what they want to see. And I just started doing it literally all the time because I knew I had to make it work. And it was that determination of, well, this has to be it. Cause I'd failed so many times at other businesses. I just kind of tired of, you know, taking my husband through it for one, like, this is going to be it. This is a business. So cool. And he's like, okay.
Trust me, I've been through the same thing too. I mean, we're young, but like we've kind of like grown our business just by, you know, putting our heads down and just, you know, this is going to work. This is going to work. This is going to work. And you know, when it doesn't work, you have to be able to, you know, realize that, okay, you know, that doesn't mean it will never work. It just means that you know, maybe I didn't do it the right way, or maybe you know, I missed something. And so, you know, it's super important that, you know, you don't get discouraged and you stick with it. And you like, you can accomplish anything with enough, you know, time and effort and focus invested into it. But you can't like just give up or, you know, keep trying new things. That's where people get trapped, is trying so many different things. Like, okay, you know, maybe I couldn't get SEO working for me. I'm going to go over here and try doing this on Instagram. I'm going to try doing this over here, you know? And like, it's helpful to kind of like know a little bit of everything, but like you should have one thing that you are the best at, and you should really get that one thing working for you in the best way, whether it's your service or, you know, how you market yourself. Like all you have to do is master one thing, and that'll be at least give you the momentum you need to kind of get the ball rolling. Right. And so, I can completely relate to that, how it is discouraging, but, that's awesome. So you kind of first started, you know, you knew you had to be where people were looking. Right. And that's what, you know, SEO is. For those who don't know, you know, maybe explain to them like what, how SEO works, how, you know, it's important to kind of be where people are looking. And like, what does it actually mean for, like, why would you do all those keywords? Like a lot of people don't even know what SEO is. They just heard it 100 times. Right.
So, SEO is essentially a search engine optimization. It's how you are present online when people are searching for what you offer. Mm-hmm. So Google's main focus, even though they're doing 100 million things right now, is to turn out a good experience when someone is searching for something. So us in the beauty industry, we offer services. So when a client who has no idea who we are, but is looking for the services we offer, they are going to hop on their phone, they're going to hop on their computer, and they're going to type in whatever service they're looking for, and typically the area, the community, the neighborhood of where they want to find that service. Our job as the beauty owners or the suite rentals is to make sure that when they look, we show up somewhere so we can say, hey, I'm available, I offer this service, I'm where you're looking, and you know, choose me, kind of thing. Yeah. So that's essentially what it is. We just have to be in front of clients when they're looking for what we offer. And the more places you can do that online, the better. It just ups your chances when you're blogging and you have a website or you have a Pinterest page, you're, you know, putting information out there to have spots in those real estate, you know, areas for search. And it just makes sense to do that because that's where a lot of people are looking for new services.
Yeah. I mean, really it all just comes down, like people have to know who you are to be able to be able to find you, to be able to do business with you. Right. You know, you know, obviously you don't need to rush into doing all those things, but you should be available, on, you know, places where you feel that your audience may be. Right. And so, you know, you could grow a business only through Google. You could grow a business only through Facebook. Right. If you know what you're doing and know how to use it. But, you know, I think for you, was it just focusing on, one of those things, like you were focusing just on SEO for quite some time, and then you kind of, you know, started to realize that you could kind of adapt into learning more about the other things and get those off the ground too?
Yeah, I think so. For me, because I feel like back then social media wasn't as big as it is now. And it definitely wasn't hitting businesses as much as it does now. So in the beginning, I focused on a website and a blog. That's all I did. There was no Google My Business. There wasn't Google Plus. There wasn't any of that stuff. And if it was, it wasn't anything that people new to look at to even, you know what I mean? So for me, I tell people now, like, if you're going to do anything online, at least do a website, at least. Because that is, you know, sometimes the first impression. That's where you can really show, you know, who your business is, why you're doing what you're doing, show your work, you know, educate, give them information. Like, you can do all of that on your website. So why not focus on that and make sure it's strong enough that it is trying to show up in, you know, search results. So definitely, if I feel like if anybody's going to do anything in the beginning, it's to do something that you own and something that has the highest chance of showing up in search results. And for me, I believe it's a website.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, the website is super important. But I think a lot of people make the misconception that if I build my website, it looks amazing, that people are just going to find me. Right. You also have to be able to get that website in front of people. Right. And so that's where, you know, things like SEO come into play. You know, you can drive people to that website through however you want. You know, you could even, you know, literally knock on doors and say, hey, you know, this is who I am, check out my website, you know, but yes. you have to get people there somehow. Right. And so like, yeah. That's why like the day and age that we're in, like people say like, oh, it's so crowded in the space. Like, that's a good thing. Right. Cause like, you know, you can go and find people that you can help. Like you could hop in, you know, a Facebook group, you can hop in, you know, and learn a little bit how to at least bump your ratings up on the site so that maybe when people are looking for you, that they start clicking on you. Like a yeah. website's the perfect place to just at least like tell people who you are. And you know, let people know that, you know, you're a real person. You don't just provide services, right? Cause like, right. I think, you know, especially when it comes to blogging, which I'm very interested to talk to you a little bit about, you know, how that kind of works for you. I think, okay. you know, how things like that, you know, blogging and setting up a website rather than just like making it look great. And like, you know, here's, you know, what we can do for you. Here's our pricing. Like, I think it's really, really important to showcase the person who's actually doing it and, you know, promote like yourself, right? Because yeah. people in the beauty industry, nothing's more important than the relationship between, yeah. you know, whether it be the stylist or the esthetician or the specialist, whoever it is, there has to be a connection there, right? And if there's not, you know, that's how you get, you know, quote unquote Groupon clients who, you know, are just looking for a quick service and they're gone, right? You
right,
need yeah. to really like, you know, let people know that you have a story of why you're doing what you're doing and, you know, you are there to help people. You want to, you know, serve them to the highest level, right? And you just need to be transparent, like we already talked about, right? And
sure.
I think I'd love to hear kind of how you blogging has kind of helped you do that, because I think I was doing some looking around on like the last CEO page and things like that, and blogging is a lot of people say like, I don't have time for that or anything like that. How much time do you dedicate to that, and how do you feel like it's actually helped you connect to your audience better?
Well, I back before, I think I would go on whims where I would have like several ideas and I would try to knock them out, you know, as much as I could and then schedule them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll go, you know, like a few months and I won't have any, but I feel like I've done so many at this point that it helps. But I think in the beginning, it doesn't even really have to be about writing this huge blog post, like 1,000 words. It can literally just be a couple hundred words and you throw up a before and after picture, or
yeah.
you know, you can take the time to use the blog to educate people and dispel mm-hmm. myths that we have.
Yeah.
Our industry, like educate clients, because they don't know.
Yes.
And what they don't know, they're not going to know to ask a stylist, and they're just going to choose anyone. So I think you don't have to dedicate a whole lot of time to it. Honestly, you can mm-hmm. literally like 15 or 20 minutes of questions that you've heard people ask, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, friends or girlfriends are saying, well, I heard they damage lashes, blah blah blah, and I heard yeah. this, you know. An educated stylist can say, well, actually, and just turn that into a post, put some pictures
yes.
up of your work, you know. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be complicated. For me, it's just been a really good education source for my clients.
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, like when microblading first came out, I was one of the first ones in our area that was doing it. So mm-hmm. I was, you know, educating my clients and letting them know that, you know, this is what you can expect. These are the type of results we can get. You
yeah.
know, this is how long it lasts. This, you know, we use a topical, so it's not super painful. Just all these questions are blog posts and, you know,
yeah.
So that's what I use it for, as a way,
yeah.
Another SEO real estate mm-hmm. nugget, as my blog typically shows up to. And just a way to connect and educate with potential clients. Cause I think they
yeah.
value that. Like, they feel like, I guess she knows what she's talking about. She's always,
you know, yeah.
not always just like, I'm available. Why
yeah.
did you?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that. That's what we want to, you know, help people realize, is that, like, you know, you have to really portray yourself and become the expert and the go-to person for that education. Even if someone's not, like, you know, doing business with you right then, if you can be, you know, the information source for them, when they're ready, they'll come to you rather than anyone
yeah.
else, because you build that
right.
credibility, right? Whether it's through a blog, whether you're posting it on Facebook, whether you're posting on your Instagram, like, you know, you need to provide value for people and, like, really help them, you know, understand what it is that you do and why you're doing it and how
yeah.
it helps people and things like that, you know. Education is so important, and you know, that's kind of why we're here today, you know, is to really, you know, push the importance of, you know, how do I actually, you know, come up with that content. You kind of just said it yourself, you know, realize, you know, what questions people have, and, you know, ask, you know, even ask people, like, you know, what they think or what they would want to know and what they would want to hear, and just give it to them, right? You know,
yeah.
whether it be through, you know, you hopping in front of a Facebook Live or whatever, you know, that's all just forms of you connecting with people. And I feel
right.
like you've done a good job of using blog as a way to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Along with other things, right? But really, it's, to me, it sounds like you just kind of figured that out, that was just what worked for you and what kind of worked, because you said you were super busy, you had a lot of ideas, you know, you kind of just found, you know, the few things that worked for you, right? And I think that's,
right.
you know, what people should focus on more is trying things out in different areas and, like, just kind of finding which you enjoy doing and which it doesn't, like, you know, drive you crazy. Like if Instagram is not working for you, or, you know, you don't enjoy, you know, using it to connect with your audience, like, don't use it, you know. Like, you can build a platform anywhere, you know. Just because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, my audience is on Instagram, you know, that may be true, but your audience is still on another 100 other platforms too. And so
I heed that advice myself sometimes. I'm starting to feel that way about Instagram. There's so many people that are just doing so much more of what I wish I had time to do.
Yeah.
On it, and they're posting it, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting like 1,000 some likes, and you know, like,
yeah.
I'm so consistent.
Yeah, like, oh, I want some of those, right?
You know, yeah. Like, I'll get a post and it's got 800 likes, and then I post 3 days later and I get 25, and I'm like, I'm just kind of over Instagram. Yeah. So I feel you on that. Like, you have to find, you know, the platform that works for you and mm-hmm. also brings results. Like,
right.
Why you're doing what you're doing. So
yeah, and you can't, you know, be an expert in learning everything there is to know about every platform. I mean, if that were the, I mean, it's just impossible. You can't be good at everything.
Right.
And so, like, it's super important that, like, you know, whether it even be, you know, your services too, you know, just focus on that, you know, that one area that you focus on and are the best at, right? Because I see so many, you know, specialists and stylists, you know, oh, I'm going to do, you know, all these different services. Look how long, you know, look at all these services I can do, right? And, you know, that just, you know, it may be a good way to kind of, you know, give you the opportunity to help people do different things, but, like, you should have, like, the one thing that people go to you for. And then, you know, maybe the other things are a supplement, but they shouldn't be the focus, right?
Because
you can't, you know, really connect and educate people on every different, you know, area. You know, that's what, you know, big blogging sites are for. They post out all the random content. But as, like, a personal, you know, business owner and specialist, like, you need to be the specialist and pick the one thing that you specialize in. Does that make sense? So, yeah, I love that. Let's maybe break it back a little bit. What's, you said that obviously, like, you working on growing your business when you were getting started, and obviously, you know, having a new, you know, kid coming and dealing with that, right? I'm sure that was kind of caused a lot of, you know, craziness, right? I mean, that's a lot on your plate, right? And so maybe tell us a little bit about at any point that maybe you dealt with some struggles or some things that, you know, were a little bit difficult to overcome, but you were able to do it, and you look back on it and, like, that wasn't that bad, you know?
I think in the beginning it was pretty much just going back to my business. Once I took my maternity leave and I was, you know, going back, it was hard because my husband's Navy, so his schedule is never, you know, the same. It's always, you know, he's here, he's gone, he's here, he's gone, you know? It was rough just finding a place because I couldn't afford rent. Where I ended up being for like 5 years, the owner worked with me and did like commission for the first, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 months until I started to get enough clientele. So I really struggled with, you know, doubting and wondering and, you know, like, am I going to be able to pay my bills? You know, and I hear a lot of stylists in that mind frame of, this is hard. I don't have enough clients. I'm struggling. Yeah. Can't pay my bills. I'm, you know, just back and forth. And I can totally relate because I can remember many a times looking at my bank account and I'm like, $27 in that baby. Gas, that's 20.
Can I grab a sandwich for lunch?
It's like, I just want to be able to be that person to, you know, show them. And what is it that, you know, I can, like, hop in there and look at and help you do, like, because I've been there, I've been, you know, zero clients and I've been fully booked. Like, so I get it. And I'm still doing it. Like, I'm still, you know, in the trenches, I'm still trying to, you know, stay busy, stay booked and keep, you know, momentum going. So I think a lot of times when we get slow times or it just seems like, you know, you're not getting as many appointments, it's easy to get discouraged and it's easy to get frustrated. I even felt a little bit of it here recently, just like the summer. And when I look back at my numbers, they weren't that much different than the summer before. It's weird. And I was trying to tell my stylist that rents a room here. I said, you know, I can't quite put my finger on what it was. It just felt different, you know? So, you know, it's just keeping your mind frame positive and still going forward because, you know, it is your livelihood. Like, you're not dependent on just a paycheck. You have to bring those clients in. You have to be busy enough to continue the lifestyle that you're living or be prepared to scale it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And has that been anything that you've experienced where, you know, balancing, I know you got 3 kids, right? And so has it been difficult to kind of where you're at right now, like balance the two, or have you kind of found a good way to, you know, still have the freedom to do as you please, but, you know, still really grow the business? Or is that something you're struggling with right now?
It's something that I'm kind of dealing with. Hold on just a second.
No, you're good.
One of Tierra's clients is here. Oh, hey. Oh, okay. No, it's okay. You can have a seat if you want. One of Cherry's clients.
Get some live consults right here.
right. I'm trying to remember where our focus was going.
Kind of balancing, growing the business and growing your following while kind of the family life.
There's not a good level of balance.
Yeah, you're working towards it then, right?
Yeah, I mean, eventually that's where I want to be. But mm-hmm. I feel like as my kids get older, it's a little bit easier. But my youngest is 4. So mm-hmm. It's not, she still has a lot of years that she needs mommy to just kind of be there with her.
Yeah.
My two older sons are, 13 and 11, so they're a little bit older, but I still need to make time for them. And with my husband being in Navy and away, it's hard. So
yeah.
I've got a balance and I'm able to.
It's tough. I mean, absolutely. And I think it's something that a lot of people do struggle with, but I think that's kind of the direction that you're going now is trying to figure out how you can kind of, automate the inside of the business and really venture out onto being, able to supplement your ability to be free from your business, but still help people. Right. And so tell us a little bit more about at what moment did you decide that it was a good idea to start kind of coaching, consulting, and helping people do what you do?
Sure. I think once I realized how well my business was doing in such a short amount of time, mm-hmm. Because I had heard so many people that had been in business way longer than me and was not where I was at. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, well, why? Why yeah. not? It was at that point where I was just like, well, maybe something I'm doing could help someone else. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I can put it in something that they can read, or maybe I can just sit and talk with people, or, it just became more apparent that I needed to put something together. Yeah. And I had a lot of people emailing me when I would put out videos like on my YouTube channel and, asking a lot of questions. And I kept seeing a lot of the same questions coming up. And when mm-hmm. I would comment in a Facebook group about, what's the best way to get clients, and I would throw in my 2 cents, and then people would be like, well, what do you mean? Well, what about this? And it just became
more
people needed to know. Yeah. And I felt like more people that knew, the better their businesses would be. So
yeah.
And it awesome. Just makes sense. It's like another stream, yeah. Of income that's not dedicated, in the chair.
And that might be, the route that helps you kind of, get that balance, And that's what we're trying to help people do, and why we're talking to, people like yourself and other experts in the field who there is a complete ability to, build a successful business in the beauty industry, get that covered, how it works, how you can kind of create systems that automate most of it. And you can actually have, the exit strategy, quote unquote, where you can still be, if you still want to work with clients, you can, but you have the control, this is going to be here. But it can be ran on its own, but I can also focus on, if I wanted to, completely supplementing that by sharing how I've been able to build this. Right.
Right.
And so, I think that's what we want to help people, understand, and be able to help them actually accomplish that, because it's pretty, there's not that much information, especially, in the beauty industry specifically, how do I, package my ideas? How do I help the most people without, being in 100 different places at once. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I think, the route you're going is the route that people should go, right? We kind of layer it into 4 stages, right? You start out kind of the employee stage, right? Where you start to learn your services, you work under someone, or you just get good at something, right? And that could be, people who are working jobs right now, they're kind of in that employee stage, right? But, maybe they have the idea that they want to, start a business or work for themselves and things like that. And similar mm-hmm. to what you've done, then you become self-employed, and that's stage 2, right? And so that self-employed stage is where, maybe you're not necessarily a business owner, but you have the ability to control a client base. You have the ability to kind of figure out what you want to do from there, right? And this is where I figure that instead of moving to the next stage, a lot of people get stuck in, I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. This is just what it's like to be a business owner, right? Where if I'm not there, I don't make any money, right?
Exactly.
So what the next stage that is next is where you actually develop a business and you are a business owner and you have people working with you. You have a team, you have something that you've established. You've grown from the employee to self-employed to an actual business, right? What you're in right now, right? If you left, today, it would still be okay, right? You have people there who are working with you, right?
Well, you have
clients, right? Obviously you can't ditch your clients, right? But everything would be okay if you just said hey, let your clients know that I'm going to take a vacation this week. You have that ability, right? And so that's kind of the third stage. And the fourth stage is really, where you're able to get that side kind of done to where, you are in complete control and you could only take a couple clients if you wanted to. But your real income can come from you sharing how you've gone through those stages and helping others do the same. And that type of business and expert style business where you are the go-to who's helping people do what you've done, you're sharing your expertise. You're not just like educating people on stuff you don't know. You've actually experienced it. You've done it, and you can actually help people. That's the freest business and style to live, right? You know, you have a system where this all comes together, but now you can kind of have the freedom to, you know, showcase, share your story, share your ideas, share your creativity, and, you know, package that into a way that you can, you know, help people, but still supplement your income with it, right? And that's the route it sounds like you're trying to go, right? Because obviously you don't want to be trapped in a business forever, right? and you still want to be, you know, proud of what you've been able to create, right? The last CEO company, right? That could be something that runs on its own one day, right? And then you can still kind of be free to do what you want. But obviously that's not easy to do, right? So you need a little bit of help. And exactly. But where you're at now, it's very impressive. And I admire, you know, how much you've been through to be able to get there, especially with, you know, multiple kids. And, you know, you're doing it a lot on your own. You know, you said your husband is not there all the time. And I'm sure that's difficult, right? But I admire how much you've been able to succeed from it. So that's amazing. So tell me a little bit about kind of maybe what your plan is here moving forward for what you want to do with your own personal brand, what you maybe want to do with the last CEO brand to kind of venture into that, you know, coaching consulting realm.
Well, I definitely want to do, especially probably in the coming year, is do more on location live trainings. Mm-hmm. So I actually am in the beginnings of putting together like a marketing and like a refreshing skill class. Mm-hmm. So I'm like researching, you know, cities. I'm asking, you know, the other like stylist CEOs, like, where would you like this class to be? And literally it's all over the map, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think in the coming, you know, year, I want to focus on being able to do that at least once a month. And then also having time that I can sit and coach, you know, someone, whether it be through Facebook video or, you know, email or on the phone, at least like once a week. And then dedicate, you know, several days still to be in here in the salon. Like for me, that would be a nice balance where I can still serve my clients, but I'm still, you know, getting out and meeting the other business owners, you know, face to face with them in real life.
That's awesome. That's super. And so that's kind of your plan now, is to kind of go through connecting with those right people who are going to help you, you know, maybe be able to get that all packaged. Oh, sorry. Do you have someone there?
Okay. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Rents the room next to my room in the back.
Yeah, we're live in the last CEO business right now, right? But yeah, that's awesome. So you kind of do, you know, have a plan for it. You know, you want to be helping people and kind of giving them advice to what's worked for you and what you know can help them too, right? That's awesome. So maybe what right now is the biggest thing, you know, the biggest struggle or the biggest thing holding you back from getting to where you want to be? I know you told me, like, you know, you have a lot of ideas. You've tried a lot of things and, you know, right now it's just you have so many ideas, but there's very little time, right? Because you have your family to take care of, you have your business to take care of. And, you know, how do you kind of manage all of that? And then how, you know, what's the biggest thing that you think is holding you back from being able to really take off with the education style business?
Well, you definitely hit it on the head. I think for me, it's time and it's organization. Mm-hmm. I think they come together because it's one thing to have the idea, but if you don't have the organization and the means to have a system put in place to push it and keep it going, then it's just an idea. So that's kind of where I am. I have plenty of ideas. I have plenty of things that I've seen do very well in other industries that are not even beauty related that I know that apply to this industry, but I don't have a team. I don't have, you know, like a manager and a, you know, marketing person and this to make it happen and then just say, all right, go run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like especially our industry, the lash and brow, it's still pretty new compared to like hair and, you know, there's still so much that can be developed and so much that there is that can be given to stylists, CEOs, to help them, to help their business. Yeah. And I just wish I had the time and the organization and the team to put those things together and then send them out into the industry, you know? So that's, and it bothers me because I'll sometimes see other, you know, people who are very good at what they do and they have the ability because they don't have kids or they don't have a family. It's literally them and they can come up with something and then all of a sudden it's this big thing and it's like, well, I wanted to do that. But
I got three kids to feed.
I'm home cooking dinner and doing laundry and you
absolutely
know, going to meetings and going to play classes and you know what I mean, which I love, but there's that part of me that's just like, oh, if I had more time, I could do those things and still get all these other little things popping, you know?
Right. And that's the hardest part, I think, too. And that's why, you know, doing things like this where, you know, we can get inside look of people who have accomplished those things, and like anything you can do to shortcut the time it takes to accomplish like goals like that for yourself, is worth every investment. Right. And so, you know, it's impossible to try to do everything yourself. Right. Like you just said. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to, you know, even if, you know, they're just going to the phase where they want to get someone on board, even just hiring an assistant to help them out. Like if that's what's going to help you, you know, free up your time and help you, you know, in the long term, be able to increase income, like do it. Right. You know, even if it cuts a little bit of your income right away, like you're not going to be able to grow unless you can trust people, and work to building that team and that foundation. And you will get stuck if you don't, you know, do what it takes to really invest in yourself and continue to grow, you know? And so how big is your team there at The Last CEO right now?
It's pretty much me. Terry, she actually, she used to be a commission stylist for me, mm-hmm. but I was able to build her clientele up enough for her that now she just rents. Mm-hmm. And I also have another girl who's here a couple of Saturdays a month, and she does lashes as well. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the team.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's okay. At least you have a team, right? I mean, a lot of people, you know, think that they can do everything themselves. And, you know, in order to have a functioning, you know, business, you have to be able to trust others and get other people involved.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard because there's so many people out there who, you know, are wannabe, you know, experts, quote unquote, you know, who, especially, you know, when it comes to business related activities, you know, like marketing and things like that, like, you know, it's hard to find people that, you know, actually know what they're doing. You know, they'll go take a quick little YouTube tutorial and, oh, I'm an expert. I'm completely with you. And, you know, maybe we can collaborate a little bit too. You know, I'd love to hear more about, you know, what you're trying to, you know, do to kind of put those ideas together. Because usually, like, even from what I've seen, you know, if you don't know how to or have the time to figure things out, like, it's very important to, like, find someone who does know how to do that. And so, like, someone that you obviously connect with too, but someone that can kind of like get those ideas out of your head and, you know, actually doing something for you, right? So maybe we can talk more about that. I'd love to kind of hear, you know, what your goals are and what your vision is for. I'd love to hear some more of those ideas because it sounds like you're real, you know, driven and motivated. And like I said, you know, I know having the three kids and you, it's almost like being a single parent, I'm sure, at some times, right?
It's mostly like that.
Yeah. And so like, it's tough, right? But you've still been able to be so successful. And so that's awesome. I admire you for that. Tell us maybe a little bit about some of your biggest achievements or accomplishments. I'd love to kind of hear, you know, what's all that you've been able to accomplish since you first got started, you know, 5 years ago.
Well, I think the biggest is this space, mm-hmm. you know, been out of the room that I was renting at the hair salon. I was there for 5 years. Not quite 5 years. September.
Could you show us the logo right there? That looks pretty cool. Oh. Is that it behind you?
Yeah.
Awesome. That looks really nice. Last CEO. That's cool. A nice space. I saw some pictures on it too. So you got a real nice space. So that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. So I would definitely say this has been the biggest accomplishment. And just, you know, taking that step, that was huge. And I mean, if I'm being honest, it still makes me nervous. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's the whole, this is it. I signed the lease. It's 3 years. You got to be here. And, you know, it's like, well, you have to have enough clients for the next 3 years to pay the rent. So it's like, you have to, you know, and I sat and made sure, you're moving. I made sure that I did the numbers like over and over and over, you know, so that I was confident enough to say, okay, this is worst case scenario. This is best case scenario, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah, I think it's been that. It's been, you know, seeing my income go from when I was working 40 hours a week for someone else making, I don't know, $35,000, you know, a year to working for myself averaging 40 hours a month, mm-hmm. but tripling what I was making working for someone else. Like that year was huge for me. When I first started noticing that, I'm like, I'm averaging like 45 hours a month in the salon. Now, mm-hmm. granted, that's not talking about behind the scenes. I'm online answering emails and doing all that. But in the salon, just working and servicing my clients, 45 hours, sometimes 50 a month, but my income has tripled.
I mean, the reason, like what you just said, you're working on supplementing that income too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, that's exactly what I was talking about. Those four stages, you know, like you can make money in every single one. But which one's going to give you the most time, the most freedom, and, you know, the most ability to, you know, be able to, you know, actually balance work and, you know, family life and things like that too, you know? I mean, everyone has, you know, the end goal of, you know, being able to, I want to, you know, travel the world. I want to be able to do whatever I want. Obviously everyone's goals are different, but, you know, I don't think there's a single person that wouldn't say like, I wouldn't want to have the freedom to do what I want to do, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so like, and the financial aspect of that is very important. Right. And so, you have to kind of, you know, put those systems and build that foundation to be able to, you know, kind of slowly get your time back. Obviously, when you first get started with anything, like, you have to really focus. Yeah. And figure all everything out. Right. Yeah. But, you know, you can, and at first, you know, you may be working 100 hours a week when you're doing all that, you know,
yeah.
And it's tough because maybe you're not seeing the benefits of it right away. But once you kind of like get the systems in place, you really understand how it all works, you can start buying that time back. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you can maybe focus on the next steps, what you're doing right now, which is like, how do I, you know, achieve that real freedom and be able to continue, you know, using everything that I've done and created to turn something into, you know, I can spend more time with my family. I don't have to, you know, be, you know, trapped working those crazy hours, which it sounds like you have a decently, you know, free lifestyle right now. Right. It's just, you're still working on, you know, being as free as you can. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And I made sure I designed it from the beginning because I kind of knew already with my husband's schedule and with the kids, I wasn't going to be able to do a traditional 40 hours. I already knew that. So that's from the, once I started noticing that I was getting busier, I made sure my hours were what they needed to be. So I'm not here 40 hours.
Yeah.
Because I do have to be home for the kids and
ushering
around and making sure.
You got a full-time job at home.
Yeah. So it's like, I can't work 9 to 10 hours here and expect to go home and still be mentally ready and capable to deal with whatever the three of them have to throw at me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit before I kind of ask some questions that I think, you know, some people may want to hear from you since you've been able to really figure out, you know, what works and hasn't worked. We can pile some questions I'd like to ask you. But first, I'd like to kind of ask you as well, like, how do you feel like the transformation has been, you know, since you first got started and into where you're at now, whether it be transformation, your confidence or transformation, just the way that you've been able to kind of live life and attack your goals and things like that. What do you feel like has been like the biggest shift for you as you've kind of been along this journey?
I think the biggest shift has just been, I am literally like in charge of every aspect of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you are working for someone else, you have a whole different mentality than when you wake up and everything that you're going to do is because of work that you put in.
Yes.
And how you're doing it versus, I'm getting up to go fix this copier. I can't stand it. I don't really understand why I have to go and do it this certain way. And you know what I mean? There's like this whole mind mental shift that changes. And I think it's been good, but it's also been bad because I think it almost disconnects me from friends and stuff because they don't get that. They don't have that mind shift because they're still in the, well, I have to get up and I got to go be on time and I got to go. And
which
I
think stage one, right?
Right. But it's a whole different thing when, you know, I'm not there anymore. And the stuff that, you know, is important to me is not important to them. And, you know, so for me, it's been a shift of, unfortunately, disconnection from a lot of friends that, you know, are not in the same, they're not in, you know, business owner kind of status.
Yeah.
So and it's been a good shift, but there's also been just like some downfalls too, where I'm just like, you know, I don't have a lot of friends that are, you know, I can just be like, oh, hey, guess what happened at the salon today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good thing to shift into that because like, if you, I mean, we've had to do it personally too, you know, and it's hard for us too, because, you know, we're young and we have like friends that we've had for a really long time. And, you know, what we did, we actually, completely, since we knew that was going to be something a little bit difficult for us, since we launched our company in college, and like if we came back home, it would kind of be like we'd be around the same group of people, you know, who you know still are in that employee mindset, you know, and like we realized that like maybe, you know, let's just start fresh, you know, let's just like get in an area where we can just connect with the right people and connect with people who are actually going to elevate us, you know. I'm sure you've heard 100,000 times, you know, you are who you hang out with, right? And so like you want to be around people that are going to push you. Yeah. Even if it's nobody, right? I mean, it's better to, you know, be in control, right? And like not have people picking at what you're doing or, you know, why do you do that? Why are you working so hard? You know? And so like we moved out here to like Arizona just to completely start fresh. We didn't know a single soul out here. And it's been great for us because like we've only connected with people who are kind of at the area that we're at, you know, or even above and beyond. And we've been able to kind of reach up rather than like keep reaching down to that same group of friends. And we've even tried to, you know, get old friends involved and things like that. But like, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink it. I've said this 100 times. And so like, you know, it really does take that mindset shift, right? Like you were just saying that you have to really, you know, get to the point where, you know, I'm in control. You know, control is a good thing. A lot of people say it's not a good thing. Like it's very good. Like you should, you know, kind of be in the position to control what happens to you and, be responsible for what you're able to achieve. And if you can put yourself in a position where you can literally, control anywhere you go. You know, I could be extremely successful if I put in the work. I know it's possible. To realize that, you know, when you first get started into this, like I'm sure when you first started, you know, learning what there was to know about, you know, your esthetician background and learning all of that, I'm sure you never thought that, you know, one day you'll be where you're at now, right? You never know.
No, not at all. I just knew that I loved it. When I went to school, I was like, I love this. We get facials every day. It was great. I loved it then. I think loving it that much has just been what's helped keep, you know, I feel like you have to love something because there's going to be things that's thrown at you that suck and it's going to be bad and you're going to screw up and mess up, but you have to love it enough that, you know, keeps you going. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%, you hit the nail on the head. Well, I got a couple questions that I think would be helpful to ask you given your background. And so as we're wrapping up here, we can just kind of go through some of these and maybe you can give, you know, maybe your insight and things like that. So one question I have, how and where do you find clients willing to pay your price rather than clients who want discounts? We talked a little bit about this, but what's been successful for you?
So I think when people ask that question, they are probably not connecting well with the clients that they think will pay their prices. So when I hear people say, how no one wants to pay my prices, it's probably because of something that they're doing, whether it's their branding, whether it's how they talk to their clients on the phone, whether it's their website, whether it's how that business is perceived. Because I feel like there is a client for every single price point available. You're charging $900 for lashes, there's someone who will pay that. Mm-hmm. But you best believe that if you're going to charge $900, then you have to bring it. You can't
absolutely
at a $50 level and expect to attract clients who want the level of service that $300 gets them. So you have to bump everything up and understand, look, you have to deliver that value so that they will see you as valuable and pay those prices.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. You're dealing with some pain in the butt clients?
Right. My gosh. She's not my client, which you know, she still comes here because Terry rents the room. So, you know, that could still bite me in the butt, but the client's literally canceled and no-showed like 7 times. Like.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think is going to change on the 8th? Hey, maybe that's a good question for I'll probably clip out where you're talking there, but
right, sure.
I'll jump right back in. So basically you just paused and talked about, you know, a client who keeps rescheduling on you. Right. And you said she's done about like 5 to 7 times. How do you deal with things like that? You know, what do you keep? How do you deal with clients who continue to reschedule and it feels like they're just a pain in the butt? What do you do for clients like that?
I find for me, because that's how she's dealing with it, I honestly don't give clients that many opportunities. Mm-hmm. I let them know right up front, like if you no show and don't call, you pretty much don't get to book again. Like that's just it. Because like we were saying, like you mess with our time that we could devote to a client who's happy to come in and show up on time. And you know, respect our time as much as we respect theirs. It's a respect thing, and it's also just common courtesy. Like, it'd be different if every time she called and was like, "I'm so sorry, I can't make it," but she didn't even give that courtesy. So I like to make sure on my website and on even before they can even book, it says, "Look, your deposit's non-refundable. It can be applied to future appointments or retail, but we can't play around with people who waste our time."
Oh yeah.
Don't, because we live our life by appointments.
Yeah.
So if a ton of people in here that don't respect that, then. Mm-hmm. Screwing us and our time, and you know, it's just not a good situation.
Absolutely. And do you do deposits or anything like that for appointments?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So if they do have to reschedule, is there how do you structure that?
So for reschedules, they get like 24 or 48 hours, and we can just apply it to a future appointment. Mm-hmm. But we don't do refunds.
I think that's good. Yeah. I mean, you have to do that because like, and then that like portrays you as a professional too, right? Like, I mean, like you just said, like your livelihood and your business, I mean, the way you attack your days depends on your appointments, right? And so like, if people don't respect that, like they're really screwing up your day, you know, and it's a big, you know, pain in the butt. And so like, do you use like scheduling systems and things like that to remind people too? And things like that? What do you use? What's worked for you?
I love Acuity. I've tried some of the other ones like Styleseed, Vergaro, Schedulicity. I've found for me, Acuity works the best. It was the most cost effective for all of the features that it had. And it will send an email reminder, a text reminder. Mm-hmm. I can do custom email follow-ups that will you know, remind clients, you know, that I appreciate them. And if they're happy with the service, to please leave me a review. I can put links in there, you know, give away coupons in that follow-up. Like, hey, if you're happy, here's a coupon to give to a friend. Mm-hmm. Just have them know this when they check out. I just love all the customization that I can do with Acuity.
Awesome. It's
literally just giving me sanity because in the beginning I was the stylist texting back and forth. Well, what about this time? What about this time? And I just started getting really bad at it. I tell people in the books and then I'd forget.
Oh,
and then
you
show up and then I'd already have someone and it would just too much anxiety, and I don't.
Yeah. Automating, you know, not trying to automate everything right away, but like realizing where you can kind of, you know, find shortcuts and automations can really save you a lot of time and help you stay organized, which I know you said that that was kind of something that you struggled with figuring out when you first got started, right? And so like, it's super important to, you know, figure out ways to, you know, shortcut your time. Like personal touches are super important and follow-up is super important,
right.
But you can't, you know, continue to grow and do that all the time, right?
Right.
And so automations are huge, right? And so, yeah, I'm glad you kind of said that you were using things like that. And Workuity is what you said you would maybe recommend.
Acuity.
Acuity. Mm-hmm. Okay, Acuity. Awesome. Last question I have for you. This is a pretty good one that I'd like for you to answer as well. Like, how do you reach good clients, meaning those knowledgeable and educated enough to see quality work and willing to pay a fair price when you maybe don't have huge funds for marketing? And other than social media, you know, what are the best ways to find those good clients and sustain your business?
I think when you're first starting out, a good way to get out and connect is literally offline. I find that when you're new, you have to get out and kind of show your face. You have to get out and connect maybe with other business owners and either, you know, offer to not swap services, but like offer to leave, even if you just have like business cards, you know, and offer to take some of theirs and, you know, try to grow each other's business. Because in the beginning, I feel like when you don't have a lot to show for, you don't have the pictures and you don't have the experience, you just have to connect and show people that you're passionate and you love what you do. And you just need that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think setting your prices where you want them to be as if you were experienced and you have that value already, rather than trying to do, oh, $50 and then in 6 months, $200. Set it at $200 at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then just discount how you need to for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, all right, your prices are going, you know, to our retail prices as of this date. That way they know from the get-go, I'm getting a deal right now because of XYZ. But I know if I love this girl and she does a good job, this is what I'm going to eventually be paying.
Yes.
That way it's a mindset thing for the client.
It's a pre-frame.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. That's great advice. I mean, you know, obviously when you're first getting started out and you need those results and things like that, like, you know, maybe, you know, you can help people out for, you know, free or discount, but like, let them know that like, I'm doing this so that I can, you know, showcase a result. And be able to charge this in the future. And that can apply to any business model, right? And so like, yeah, that's super important. And I think, you know, when you just said like getting yourself out there and things like that, there's ways to connect with people in so many different ways nowadays that like use social media the way it can be used for free to connect with people. That's what it's for, right? Everyone just uses it for entertainment. You know, I'm gonna watch stupid videos all day. You know, I'm gonna go check out Behind the Chair and go watch out what the new tips are. That's not gonna grow your business. You know, you've got to go out and connect with people, and you've got to do that in a way that you're not, you know, pestering people, obviously, but you're just looking to connect with people in your area, right? Because those connections are super important to at least establish yourself. And a lot of questions we've gotten too is, how do I establish myself when I'm in a brand new area? Go out and meet people, you know, but don't just like, you don't need to go out and like knock on doors, walk into businesses and things like that. Like connect with them, let them know who you are first. You know, there's so many Facebook groups out there. You know, there's literally a Facebook group for everything, right? You know, business owners, there's stuff for hairstylists, there's stuff for microblading specialists. Like connect with people, ask questions, get to know people, like get yourself known in your community, and just like, you know, have conversations with people in a way that's like, you know, not just pushing like, hey, this is what I do, I can help you do this. Like, don't just go for like, build real relationships.
Yeah,
and that's what it's all about. Yeah,
person, but
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, I think we talked about a lot of awesome stuff here today. We talked really about, you know, how important it is to, you know, build the foundation for yourself. We talked about, you know, how important education is and, you know, how, you know, going through, you know, stages of your business and building systems along the way to kind of, you know, keep your time sacred, right? Because you need it, especially for your situation. I love the fact that, you know, you work so hard and you have 3 kids at home and half the time you're doing it all on yourself, you know, and that's amazing. And to what you've been able to accomplish and what you're still working on and putting in the work to do, I'm super excited to see, you know, what's in store for you. And I'd love to talk more about it in the future as well. But let people know where they can find you and how you can maybe help them as well for people who may be watching this and or listening to this and maybe want to hear more from you.
Yeah, so you can check out my website. It's thelashceo.com. All over social media, same thing, thelashceo. I have a YouTube channel where I upload videos. They're pretty random, but it's just things that I've had questions on and I try to answer in videos. And so I'm getting ready to offer some live trainings, like in-person trainings, marketing and bridging the gap of just refreshing Lash skills, microblading skills. And of course, coaching as well, like, you know, hopping on a Facebook video call or just, you know, getting a list of some challenges that your business is going through and let's just hash them out. You know, maybe I can find some gaps that you can, you know, kind of quickly fill and just start things, you know, get some momentum going.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Last thing before we head out, what is one kind of key tip that you could provide everyone that's been like maybe the biggest moving factor to get you to where you're at now?
Oh, don't give up. Have the strength and the passion for what you're doing, because there will be things that's going to come at you that are not going to be fun to go through. And you just have to make sure whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's hair, whether it's massage, whether it's nails, lashes, you just have to love it enough to push through those things and just don't give up. And I'm talking to myself too, because I
mean, yeah, I love it. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rakina. I really appreciate it. The Lash CEO, go find her if you want to hear some more from her. And she can definitely help you out with, you know, dealing with some of the things that she's been through as a single parent, not a single parent, but almost, you know, at some time. Yeah. And so like she's been through a lot, and I'm sure you can help a lot of people. So, you know, if you're looking at least to, you know, make a connection with her, from what it sounds like, she could definitely, you know, point you in the right direction to kind of get on track to growing, you know, a successful beauty business as she's been able to do and working to do more with. So thank you so much, Rakina. I appreciate it.